This is Leo Babeau for Two Harbors Community Radio, and I have a couple of guests joining me this morning, and we're going to be talking about the programs of Head Start, both early Head Start and the traditional Head Start programs. I've got Nicole Larson, a family support specialist stationed out of Hermantown, along with Jerry Crittenden, a community relations and family services person with the Arrowhead Economic Opportunity Agency. I guess you're both stationed out of Hermantown. Nicole, do you want to describe a little bit what you do with Head Start?
Sure. I am a family support specialist, and I recruit families and get their children enrolled into our program. And then I follow the family throughout the school year, making sure that they have what they need and offer them any support I can throughout the school year.
Thank you. Jerry, and you have more of a supervisory role, and you've been working with Head Start for some time. What is your title, and what are some of the things you do with Head Start?
Sure. I am the Community Relations and Family Service Manager, and so part of my job is making sure that we're finding all of the families that we should be finding, targeting the right populations. Head Start is intended to work with families who are low income, so we want to make sure that we're finding all of those families. Head Start also has a list of rules they call performance standards, and they tell us how we have to do things. So part of my job is to make sure that we are meeting all of those rules.
Great. It gets a little interesting for folks who may have the impression that Head Start is a federal program. Maybe some people think it's from the Department of Ed, but I think it's from Health and Human Services.
That's correct.
Okay. And you, in fact, are not federal employees. You are people who are doing work with various, in your case, Arrowhead Economic Opportunity Agency, formed as an anti-poverty agency and operating in the Northland for a long time now. You carry out your work by conducting the Head Start instruction, often in public school settings. And I know that the early Head Start program includes services from Head Start employees at the agency going into the homes of the family with younger kids. And maybe you could help me, Nicole or Jerry, distinguish what happens in early Head Start versus what I'm calling traditional Head Start.
Sure, that is great. That's a good delineation, I think, to make. So Head Start, working with 3 and 4-year-olds, that's how Head Start started back in 1965. And then early Head Start came later because Head Start's philosophy is that the earlier you get to a child and can start helping them learn and helping their family get on their feet again, that's the best time possible. So early Head Start works with pregnant mothers and children up to the age of 3. And that program is a home visiting program where a teacher comes in and works with the family 1.5 hours a week. And what they're doing basically is they're kind of assessing where a child's skill levels are and then developing play activities for them. We are very big on learning through play, but it needs to be intentional play to make sure we're targeting like some maybe large muscle needs that they might have or challenging them in different ways. In addition, the parent is there for the home visit, and the early Head Start home educator is actually working to make sure the parent understands what they're doing and how they're implementing it, so the parent can continue to teach the child when the staff person isn't there. Head Start believes that the parent is a child's first and best teacher, so we want to make sure that we can get the parents caught up as well. And then for regular Head Start, we have our classroom programs, and that's for children who are 3 and 4 years old. And we have primarily classroom services for that. Most of those are located in school districts. And let's see, we do have a home visiting program in some areas for families who might be rural and can't make it into a school district. For the most part, we provide transportation in many places, but we can't in all. We're not required to do it or get funding to do it, but we find it as a priority to try and do for our families.
And even in the 3 and 4-year-old Head Start in the schools, you also have as much outreach to the families as is possible. I mean, it must be a challenge because we have a number of working families.
Yes, and it's hard. It's hard to get a hold of the families, but we do our best. We work all hours. If a family needs us in the evening, then that's when we meet up with the families. We meet them where they're at when we can.
Thank you. And that was Nicole Larson. We're speaking with Nicole Larson and Jerry Crittenden. We're talking Head Start this morning on KTWH, the program that I suppose this is an important thing as we are ever more aware that for kids to succeed in school, they need as many assets as the family and the community can provide. And could you describe a little bit about what qualifies a child and or the family for participation in Head Start?
Sure. So when Head Start was set up, it was designed for families that are low income and ending the cycle of poverty. And hoping that if you get in touch with the children early enough and work with the families early enough, you can get the help break that cycle that tends to be generational a lot of times.
Well, folks, back in January, Nicole first reached out to folks in the Two Harbors area, and we at KTWH got word that there were openings in early Head Start and Head Start in Two Harbors, and it seemed like you were eager to find families that might still want to participate yet this year. And I wanted to check back, Nicole, on whether those openings are still available and in general to find out how folks can get on a list for openings for future years. By the way, is this a 365-day-a-year program or do we follow the school calendar?
We follow the school calendar. The early Head Start is a year-round program, but the Head Start school program is just a school year program.
Okay. And how do those openings in Two Harbors look? Have we filled some or there's still some available for either or both programs?
Right now, I believe our early Head Start program is full, but we're always taking applications because it always changes. But our Head Start classroom program still has openings for this year now through the end of May, and we are taking applications for next fall.
Great. I guess I'm going to throw this more hardball question to Jerry as the supervisory personnel at AEOA.
Sure.
About what happened, your kind of summary of what went on. Last Tuesday, there was a bit of an uproar created across the country with federal grant and loan programs having a suspension of payments being announced. I don't know if that was an online announcement, but whatever it was, in certain quarters in some parts of the country, some programs felt that they were being told to stop anything that would require them to pay out something that was not going to be delivered in terms of federal funding. How did that play out locally, Jerry, in your office? And, you know, what ramifications were there? Nobody was sent home? No programs were stopped?
No, but it was incredibly stressful, actually. We had known that there was a funding freeze going on, and Head Start is primarily federally funded. And we get our money directly from the feds. So the next morning, we found out that their payment system was down, but we didn't know who all it was down for. So everybody assumed that we might have to close down our program. And we're wondering if, you know, do we just send everybody home? And then talking about how difficult that would be for a lot of our families who rely on Head Start for child care, especially while they're working, or for respite care for families who might be having more trouble. So it was a discussion, but it was also speculation. It did end up at the end of the day that we were not part of that. I can't remember the exact timeline. If we were, they said, oh, no, we'll exclude you. I think that was Head Start and Social Security was what I saw. But there may have been other things that I just didn't know about. There were many, many, many programs that the federal government pays to. So it was a lot of services. And they might have just said, oh, the ones that apply to us are. I think SNAP was in there too as well,
yeah,
because a lot of our families are getting SNAP. So it was very concerning, very stressful, obviously, very jarring, because it kind of makes you think at that time, what if I don't have my job? And I've been in Head Start for 24 years.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I was thinking, wow, I actually could be done. And it's a program I love and believe in. I love the early intervention and the fact that we work with the children and the families to try and make sure that we can help them as best as possible. So to me, it was a little bit heartbreaking.
So, Jerry, if I'm recalling, you've been working with Head Start for going on 25 years. Is this unprecedented? Has there ever been a time where without any prior discussion, there was an announcement that you might have your funds frozen?
No, absolutely not. And that's, I think, why it was so jarring. I'm usually the one that is telling people, you know, I've been here a long time, it's going to be okay. But even this one shook me a little, actually. And I don't know, I think it's just the chaos of trying to get everything done very quickly. Some things are just thrown out there, and it can really cause a lot of stress. And then for the families, we were wondering how we were going to contact our families and tell them we don't have services for anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really could have blown up into a very bad thing. Fortunately, it didn't, and that's great. But in my whole time, I've had to say, well, this has never happened before. So
right.
It's very...
Well, and we had a judge put a hold on any execution of a funding freeze on Thursday, the 30th of last week, I think. But is there still concern going forward about how stable your funding is going to be for the course of this whole administration that took office?
Well, it has been... Head Start actually has been targeted in the Trump agenda for potential elimination. And we've known that. We've known about that for a long time. Fortunately, we do have a lot of support, bipartisan support for the program. And we've been around for a very long time, and a lot of people see the value of having us, even if we can't get their kids in, to help the families that are in most need. But I think just the fact that this happened and the way this happened now makes you question it. Like I had always been before saying, nope, we, you know, have a great reputation and we've been around a long time, but this really does make you second guess.
Yeah. Maybe we should dive in a little bit about that legacy, because anybody can say anything about any program in terms of discrediting it. But what's your experience, both of you, Nicole and Jerry, about the benefits of early Head Start and Head Start, the benefits in the lives of young children? Maybe can you describe the more obvious and even some subtle ways that Head Start benefits them?
Sure. I think I'm going to start because I want to bring it back to also the family piece and for the children. First of all, Head Start is a lot about helping young children regulate emotions, and that doing that, especially through play, where you have to communicate and share, that is a very important thing for kids to learn, especially as they're very young. And then I would say for the families as well, one of the things I love about Head Start, like one of their goals has been to hire Head Start parents, past Head Start parents, or current ones actually, and there are positions that are specifically created to help people get a start in if they might not have the education. And that is amazing to me, because we've had, I don't know what the number is this year, we have to report on it every year, how many past Head Start parents we have, but we've had up to at least 40%, and I think maybe higher than that in years prior. So it feels like we're helping to get their children ready and helping to get the parents ready too, and back to a firm starting point going forward. And a lot of those parents were here like all the way through. Like I've seen some of them retire who had been here before I even started. So that's one of my favorite things about Head Start. Nicole, I'm going to let you speak as well if you have anything you want to add.
I've never had a job where I have been so appreciated by the people that I work with, like the families that I work with, how appreciative they are of the work that we do.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. They, you know, they truly become a part of you, and they just really are appreciative of what we do for them. And if we didn't have this program, I think a lot of them would be lost without it.
Yeah. And I can feel it in your own eyes and ears and hearts that you're seeing the benefits for not just children, but the community, larger community and their families. But are there also like third-party research projects that have shown what the measurable gains might be, the outcomes for kids that have the opportunity to be in Head Start? Yeah.
Yeah. And there's been the biggest study, was shown. There always used to be ones before, but as education changes, I think the last one was that the benefits of being in Head Start for children on their education lasts up through third grade or up to third grade. I want to try and speak correctly about it because there's a difference with that, that it keeps feeding in there, and then the school should be picking up after that. We haven't been working with those children for a while. So that's a positive for us. For families, I'm trying to think if I have an actual statistic for families, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, for their outcomes.
That is okay, because I didn't give you any preparation for that question, but it'd be neat to know about any impacts, positive impacts for families that have been documented in research. Basically, I'm asking all this because I want to know how folks might make decision makers in Washington, D.C. know exactly what a difference the program makes and how cost effective it is. And I hope you don't have to make that case, but if you do.
there's very smart people there that can. I would say the one thing that I have learned the most is when you're living in poverty, the world is kind of different for you. You're kind of in crisis all the time. It's not like somebody who, even if you're just middle income, there's some stability there. But when you're in actual true poverty, your brain just works a little bit different. It's hard to have the awareness of a big picture because you're focused on just how you're going to get this done, how you're going to pay this bill. And that's part of the role that Nicole takes, is we can't pay bills for people, but we can help them kind of figure out a way forward through their lives and go one step at a time with them.
One day at a time.
Yeah. I appreciate what you just said, both of you, that this is contributing to the to bringing a tiny bit of stability in an island of unpredictability for a lot of families in America.
Absolutely.
So instead of just leaving it there, I would like to ask both you, Nicole Artson, or you, Jerry Crittenden, are there any other issues or thoughts of interest to our listeners that I haven't asked you about that you'd want to make sure we leave folks with before we wrap up?
Your kids are worth the opportunity. If you don't think you qualify, you don't know unless you try to apply.
True. And we will do our best. We want to get every child services, or we'll try and get you to a place where you will get services. Part of Head Start's goal is not only to get people in with us, but to make sure that they know where to go for the same services, or not the same, but similar things somewhere else.
Yeah, we want your kids somewhere. We'll help you get in no matter where it is.
Fantastic. So considering that everybody has different access to different means of communication, what's the easiest place to start? Is there a phone number or an email or a website?
Well, let's start with me. How about that? My number is actually on the flyer should be pasted all around your town in libraries and that kind of stuff. I can be the main contact person, and I will get you in touch with the appropriate person who would do an application with you. It might just be Nicole or maybe not. The number for me is 218-748-7351.
Great, Jerry. Thank you. That's a great place to start. And I'll repeat that, 218-748-7351, the number to reach Jerry.
And we
Crittenden.
Get lots of grandparents and families calling to ask questions as well, even if they don't have the children, to try and get some more information so that they can pass it on to somebody they know that needs it. And I'm more than happy to take those questions as well.
Fantastic, folks. I'm really grateful that I could have an opportunity for you to share with our greater Two Harbors audience. There are people listening to us on the web all over the place, but for folks in Two Harbors, I really appreciate your outreach to the community last month, Nicole. So good luck in everything that both of you are doing to make a success of early Head Start and Head Start in our region.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leo.
Yeah, thank you both, folks. Take care.
You too.
You too.
Bye now. That was Jerry Crittenden and Nicole Larson working with the families and children of the Early Head Start and Head Start programs in the Proctor-Hermantown Two Harbors area under the umbrella of the Arrowhead Economic Opportunity Agency. This is Leo for KTWH.